إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه. أما بعد،
We have reached this point of the characteristics of the Prophet, peace be upon him, by Imam al-Tirmidhi, to chapter 41, which is the chapter of Salat al-Duha, the forenoon prayer. And the forenoon prayer,
Salat al-Duha, يعني التي لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يواظب عليها أو يداوم عليها، ولكنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كثيرا ما يصليها صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Did not do it regularly, but from time to time he used to make this kind of prayer, which is the forenoon prayer.
لمن لم يكن مواظبا على قيام الليل، وأما من كان مواظبا على قيام الليل يعني لا يكون مؤكدا في حقه المواظبة على
would say that people who does not people who don't pray tahajjud and qiyam al-qiyam who don't do al-qiyam should do the forenoon prayer, but those who are always making qiyam they should not worry about it very much.
يعني أقل ما ورد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الضحى ركعتين، وأكثر ما ورد أنه صلى الضحى ثماني ركعات.
And we know about Rasul that al-Duha, the least of it was two rak'ahs, and the most of it was eight rak'ahs.
يعني ربع ساعة تقريبا.
And al-Duha is due after the sun is up by 15 minutes. So after the sun is up by 15 minutes or 15 minutes after the sun is up, Salat al-Duha is due, or the forenoon prayer is due.
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الأوابين حين ترمض الفصال، الفصال هي النوق الصغيرة، والمراد يعني حين يشتد.
And the time of it ends by the time of الظهر of صلاة الظهر. So it is after the sun is up by 15 minutes and from this time till the time of Salat al-Duha.
هذا الوقت يعني يكون أفضل أوقات صلاة الضحى، ومن فضائها أن صلاة الضحى تعادل
and the full moon prayer has
60 صدقة.
إن شاء الله. صلاة الضحى has the characteristic of being it's equal to 360 alms or صدقات. It's equal to 360 alms.
ابن آدم 360 مفصل. يعني أو سلامة في بعض الروايات يعني، وعلى كل سلامة صدقة، أو على كل مفصل صدقة، كل مفصل من الإنسان عليه صدقة.
So the full noon prayer is equal to 360 alms or 360 صدقات.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل تسبيحة صدقة، في كل تكبيرة صدقة، في كل تسبيحة صدقة، في كل تكبيرة صدقة، في كل تهليلة صدقة، وتبسمك في وجه أخيك صدقة، كلمة طيبة صدقة، تميط الأذى.
So the good word, the good word is like an alm, and even when you smile to your brother, it's like a donation or like an alm. It's a صدقة.
ذلك ركعات الضحى. يعني لو صلى ركعتي الضحى يعني الإنسان عليه كل يوم 360 صدقة بعدد مفاصله، كل مفصل عليه صدقة يعني شكرا لله تعالى على كل محسن.
Just remember, if you pray الضحى, the full moon prayer, it's as if you are giving a charity on every joint of your body. It's as if you are giving a charity on every joint of your body. If you can count how many joints you have in your body, so if you pray a duha, the full moon prayer, it's as if you are giving alms or a charity for every joint in your body. So we have the authentic hadith on this chapter, the first one, from Mu'adha, may Allah be pleased with him and bless his soul. He asked Aisha, did the Rasul, peace be upon him, used to pray or observe the full noon prayer? And she said, yes, he used to observe the four rak'ahs. And he sometimes observed more than this. The second hadith says that it's six rak'ahs. It's six units of prayers. From Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, who reported that none told him they had observed the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, performing the afternoon prayer, except Umm Hani. Umm Hani, she said, the Messenger.
رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل بيتها
يوم فتح مكة.
He entered her house. He came to her house the day Mecca was conquered.
فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيتها.
So a Rasul entered her house on the day that Mecca was conquered, and he do the ghusl or wudu.
فسبح يعني فصلى.
And then he performed 8 rak'ahs.
صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى صلاة قط أخف منها غير أنه.
And she said, I did not observe the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, pray any prayer shorter than these. So these 8 rak'ahs were very short. They were very terse. Despite him performing every rak'ah and the sajda properly.
يتعارض مع الاطمئنان في الصلاة. وهذه الصلاة في هذا اليوم بالذات يوم فتح مكة صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 8 ركعات. بعض العلماء يقول
in this day in particular the messenger, peace be upon him, on this day in particular he prayed 8 ركعات.
أبي ليلى يعني اعتبرها صلاة ضحى لأنه صلاها صلى الله عليه وسلم في وقت الضحى. وبعض العلماء يقول لا هي صلاة يعني شكرا لله على.
Some scholars said that it was not the full noon prayer. They said that only عبد الرحمن.
أخذوا من هذا الحديث.
Only عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى he understood that it was the full noon prayer. But some other scholars say because it was that at the time of the time that the full noon prayer was due. But some other scholars said no, it was not. The Rasul just performed those in thanking of Allah, to thank Allah that Mecca was opened or Mecca was conquered. After this, we have the hadith from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. He asked. He asked Aisha whether the messenger was praying or performing this the full noon prayer. She said no, except when he came back from a journey. She said only when he came back from a journey at the time when the full noon prayer was due.
يصلي معه. لكنها ذكرت من قبل أن النبي صلى الله
عليه وسلم. But she mentioned before that the messenger was sometimes he was sometimes performing this kind of prayer. And we have to coordinate between authentic hadith. Between and among hadith, there is no contradiction between hadith and another one.
يعني وآخرون ذكروا أنهم رأوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And some other people saw the apostle peace be upon him perform eight, and some other people saw him perform six, some other people saw him perform two and four.
So يقدم على النافي يعني إذا الصحابي لم.
And we have a rule that whoever says he saw something comes before somebody who says no, I did not see him do this. So the rule says whoever says that he saw or witnessed something, he comes before some other people who say no, we did not see him do this.
أحيانا ينفي بعضهم شيئا على حسب يعني علمه ويثبته آخرون ممن رأوه، فليس هناك
And that proves that we don't have any contradiction. The hadith after this from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, at times performed the forenoon prayer with such regularity that we thought that he would not leave it, and at other times he left it till we thought he had left it completely and did not perform it again at all. So sometimes he used to do it regularly, every day. Every day he would never stop. He would do this on the daily basis till people thought that he would never leave it. He would never stop performing it. And some other time he left it and they thought that he left completely and will not perform it again. And the next hadith is from Abu Ayyub al Ansari.
The
Prophet always performed four rak'ahs before the dhuhr time, before the noon prayer.
That
the Apostle, peace be upon him, had always prayed four as the pre-noon prayer.
عند زوال الشمس فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أبواب السماء
And when the apostle was asked about this, why he was giving such an importance to these four rak'ahs of the forenoon and the forenoon prayer, the messenger applied, peace be upon him, that the doors of heaven were opened when the sun passes the meridian till the salat al-dhuhr is performed. So at this time the doors of heaven are opened.
قال لا هل فيهن تسليم فاصل قال لا طيب هذه الركعات الأربع.
And he also added that I desire, the apostle also added that he said that I desire that a good deed of mine reaches heaven at that time when the doors of heaven are open. And then Abu Ayyub al-Ansari asked again, is there a recital in every rak'ah? Is there a recital in every rak'ah? And he replied, yes. And then he inquired again, should salam be made at the end of the two rak'ahs? And the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, replied, no.
فيمكن أن يكون هذا ويمكن أن يكون هذا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي أربع ركعات قبل الظهر. فإما أنها أربع ركعات قبل الظهر يعني قبل أذان الظهر.
And people could perform four rak'ahs before the adhan of al-dhuhr, or could perform four rak'ahs after the adhan of al-dhuhr. And we have another another hadith that the Rasul used to, peace be upon him, used to pray four rak'ahs without taslim in the middle or before the last rak'ah. And these four rak'ahs would open the gates of heaven or the doors of heaven.
وليس فيهن تسليم. هنا يمكن أيضا أن تكون بتشهد واحد أو بتشهدين. يعني يمكن أن يجلس بعد
التسليم
ثم يقوم. فتكون يعني صفتها.
You can say تسليم once, like if you are praying الظهر, as if you pray الظهر, the same way you pray الظهر. Or you can just skip the taslim, or you can skip the one in the middle and just do the one, the last, the taslim, the one you do at the end of the four rak'ahs.
ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أربع ركعات قبل الظهر يعدلنا بصلاة السحر. يعدلنا بصلاة السحر.
And the Rasul, peace be upon him, he said, if you pray four rak'ahs shortly before al-dhuhr, it's as if you just prayed the qiyam al-layl. If you pray four rak'ahs shortly before you pray salat al-dhuhr, it's as if you prayed qiyam al-layl. So these four rak'ahs are very great, you know, in their importance.
وفي كلهن قراءة كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في كلهن قراءة يعني أربع ركعات في كلهن قراءة يعني يقرأ في كل ركعة سورة بعد الفاتحة.
And Rasul added that in every rak'ah of these four rak'ahs, you pray with al-fatiha and another surah. And if you make tashahud in the middle or in the middle after the second rak'ah, or you don't do this, you just do one tashahud after the fourth rak'ah, it's okay. But you have to start with al-fatiha with every rak'ah and another surah.
قبل الظهر بعد أن تزول الشمس قبل الظهر يبقى هذا إيه؟
And we have another hadith.
بعد زوال الشمس قبل الظهر هذا معناه أن
from عبد الله بن صائب
الظهر القبلية
who reported that the messenger of Allah peace be upon him performed four rak'ahs after zawal after the sun had passed the meridian
كما في هذا الحديث ولكن في وقت
It was before the Zuhr, the moon prayer, and he used to say the doors of heaven open at that moment. I like a good deed of mine ascend there at that moment.
So
hadith Abdullah ibn Sa'ib proves or further proves the authentic hadith we just mentioned before. They both talk about the same thing and they both prove one another. The last hadith here on this chapter from Ali, may Allah be pleased with him. He used to perform four rak'ahs before the and he used to say, the messenger of Allah, may Allah be upon him. May peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Also performed these four rak'ahs after Zawal, after the sun has passed the meridian. And he recited long verses of Quran. He used to recite long verses of Quran during those four rak'ahs.
يعني بالضبط عندما تكون الشمس في كبد السماء أو في منتصف السماء هو يعني تقريبا آخر عشر دقائق أو قبل من ذلك يعني قبل صلاة الظهر آخر عشر دقائق قبل موعد أذان الظهر.
It's exactly 10 minutes before the time when we pray الظهر when the sun is vertical in the sky.
قبل صلاة أذان الظهر حوالي عشر دقائق.
When the sun is vertical in the sky, it's about 10 minutes before the time of we pray الظهر.
مشروعية الصلاة مرة أخرى وعلل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النهي عن الصلاة في هذا الوقت حين يقوم قائم الظهيرة أو حين تكون الشمس يعني في كبد السماء علل ذلك بأنها ساعة تسجر فيها النار تسجر فيها النار ونهى عن الصلاة فيها النار أي جهنم يعني تسجل فيها يعني توقد فيها النار وتشعل. نعم.
يعني العشر دقائق اللي هي قبل الظهر،
قبل أذان الظهر هذه ينهى فيها عن الصلاة، يعني يتوقف عن صلاة الضحى في هذا الوقت.
So we were ordered by the apostle peace be upon him to stop praying 10 minutes after the Dhuhr prayer.
هذا الوقت وقت النهي هذا يستثنى منه يوم الجمعة. يوم الجمعة.
And we make an exception of this Friday. The day of Friday is an exception of. Exception of this rule, you can pray any time before the Dhuhr time, even 10 minutes before Dhuhr time. But every other day, we are asked not to perform the 4 rakahs or 6 rakahs or 8 rakahs of the pre-known prayer 10 minutes before Dhuhr time. The next chapter after this. On the voluntary prayer in the house. The voluntary prayer in the house.
الباب فيه خطأ، يعني هو الباب اللي قبله كان، الباب اللي قبله كان رقم الباب 41. ماشي، كان رقم الباب ايه اللي قبله كان 41.
We have a mistake here. The chapter before this was 41 and now we are in the chapter of 42. Now it's chapter 42. And it's on the voluntary prayer in the house.
ساق الإسناد إلى حرام بن معاوية عن عمه عبد الله بن سعد
from Abdullah ibn Sa'd, Allah be pleased with, may Allah be pleased with him. He asked the messenger, may Allah be pleased with him, which prayer is the most excellent? From Abdullah ibn Sa'd, he asked the Rasul, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah be may peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him. Which prayer is the most excellent?
أحب إلي من أن أصلي في المسجد إلا أن تكون صلاة مكتوبة.
A prayer observed in the house or a prayer observed in the mosque.
He said,
so Abdullah ibn Sa'd was asking, which prayer is the most excellent? Again, which prayer is the most excellent? A prayer observed or performed in the house or a prayer that is observed in the mosque?
The apostle says,
don't you see my house? How close it is to the mosque? Don't you see my house? How close it is to the mosque? It is dearer to me to observe the prayer in my house than to observe a prayer in the mosque, provided that it is not a prescribed prayer. So it is dearer and more beloved to me to observe the prayers in my house than to observe a prayer in the mosque, provided that it is not a prescribed prayer or one of the mandatory prayers.
لكن يعني ذكر العلماء أن المفضول أحيانا تعرض له بعض الأسباب تجعله فاضلا، يعني المفضول صلاة النافلة في البيت أفضل من صلاتها في المسجد، لكن هناك يعني بعض الأحيان الشيء المفضول قد يكون فاضلا، مثل أن يكون يعني لو يعني إذا كان إنسان في بيته بعيدا عن المسجد.
But scholars said there is some cases of exception here. What if somebody's house is very far from the masjid? Should he go to his house, perform the non-prescribed prayer, and then come back to the masjid to pray or perform the prescribed prayer? No. It's very hard for him to do so. So he would perform in the masjid the prescribed prayer and the non-prescribed prayer.
المسجد ويصلون السنة فيه من غير إنكار، من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا
so the companions, some of the companions who used to live very far from the masjid and they are coming from work or something, if they go home to pray the non-prescribed prayer, they might miss the prescribed prayer at the masjid. So what they would do is that they would come early to the masjid to perform the non-prescribed prayer and then perform the prescribed prayer both at the masjid. So they would come a little bit earlier to observe the prayer, the non-prescribed prayer there too. And the apostle, peace be upon him, he would never say a word to scold them or to blame them for what they did. Another example is the Salat al-Tarawih. Salat al-Tarawih is a non-prescribed prayer. We can always pray it at home, but it's better if we pray it in a congregation at al-Masjid, not at home.
مسنونة ويسنى صلى في المسجد عند مقام إبراهيم في المسجد الحرام بعد أن يطوف بالبيت سبعة أشواط. هي صلاة مسنونة ليست مفروضة, ومع ذلك يعني يسنى أنها تكون في المسجد. كذلك تحية المسجد أيضا ليست
مفروضة. And the greeting of the masjid is an unprescribed prayer. We can't pray the greeting of the masjid at home before we come to the masjid. We have to perform it and observe it at the masjid the moment we arrive at the masjid. This is the greeting, the two rak'ahs of greeting for the masjid.
أبعد عن الرياء, يعني أبعد عن الرياء وأقرب إلى الخشوع. يعني مثل صدقة السر أفضل من صدقة العلانية.
Like the alm we spend, or the donation we spend without anybody noticing us, it's better. So the reason behind performing or observing some prayers at home, it has more khushu'ah. It has you perform it with more piety because nobody is seeing you, or only people at home who know you do see you. But people in the masjid are more. There is more people in the masjid, and they might see you. And it's like you try to try to do it with yourself, between you and Allah. You don't want anybody to see what you're doing. It's between you and between Allah.
وطبعا فضل الصلاة المكتوبة في المسجد هذا في حق الرجال كما هو معلوم.
And we should the prescribed prayer are only for men. It's not for women. It's prescribed for men to pray at the masjid, not for women. The next chapter is a chapter on the fasting of the Messenger of Allah. May peace be upon him. The first one from Abdullah bin Shaqiq, who reported, he asked Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, about the fasting of the Messenger, peace be upon him. She said he used to observe fasting at times. So continuously that he was at times he used to fast so continuously that we said that he has fasted, and at times he broke the fast for days, and we began to say he has abandoned fasting. So when he used to fast every day, or when he used to observe fasting every day, people would, because he was continuously doing this, so people would say that he would always do this. He would continuously, till the last day of his life, he would continuously do this. And then he would break the fasting and companions would think that he would never observe fasting again.
وما صام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شهرا كاملا.
And did not observe, and she added that he did not see, she did not see him observing fast throughout the whole of the month since he arrived to Al-Madinah, except that of Ramadan.
الذي فيها أنه كان يصوم حتى نقول قد صام أو كذا، لكن لا يصل إلى درجة أن يصوم شهرا كاملا.
So whenever they saw him observing fasting day after day, they had never seen him fasting the whole month day after day.
A
whole
comparison.
And from Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, someone was asked about the fasting of the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him.
He replied,
it was his noble habit to fast on different occasions. In some months he fasted for so many days that it was thought that he would continue fasting forever. In other months he did not fast, and we thought that he would not fast now. It was also from his noble habits that if one wanted to observe the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, perform a prayer at night, it was possible. And if one wanted to observe the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, sleeping at night, this was possible too.
وكذلك النوم، يعني أحيانا ينام في أول الليل، في وسط الليل، في آخر الليل. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينوع في ذلك لتقتدي به أمته، يعني كل إنسان حسب ما يتيسر له فيكون كل ذلك مسنونا، يعني كل إنسان حسب إيه استطاعته وحسب ما يتيسر له. لو إنسان مثلا
and the Rasul always peace be upon him, he did a variety of activities, and we should follow him as long as we can. I mean, everybody is different, and you do whatever you can from what he did, and you don't do what you can of what he used to do. Like he used to sleep in the first portion of the night, and then he wakes up, and then he sleeps again at the last portion of the night. And people do both. Some people can do the first thing, some people can do the second thing. So everybody can do only what he can.
الحديث الذي بعده
the next hadith from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, the Messenger of Allah, may peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him, he fasted till we thought that he did not intend to end the fast in some months. At other times he did not fast, so that we began to think he would not fast now. The next one from Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, who reported that she saw the Prophet, may peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him, fast for two occasions, for two consecutive months, except for the month of Sha'ban and Ramadan. So she said that she saw the Prophet, may peace be upon him, fast for 2 months, for two consecutive months, except for the month of Sha'ban and Ramadan.
وهكذا قال عن أبي سلمة عن أم سلمة، يعني راوي الحديث يرويه عن أبي سلمة عن أم سلمة. وروى هذا الحديث غير واحد عن أبي سلمة عن عائشة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويحتمل أن يكون أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن.
This is about the narration of this hadith. There was so many narrators for this hadith, for this last hadith. Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf.
Abu Salama هنا هو أبو سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن ابن عوف، وهو من علماء التابعين وأبو الصحابي الجليل.
And he's a scholar of the followers.
أبو سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن روى الحديث أحيانا يرويه عن عائشة وأحيانا يرويه عن
And when he reported this, he sometimes reported this from عائشة and sometimes he reported this from أم سلمة.
أن يكون رواه عن عائشة ورواه عن أم سلمة.
So he heard the hadith from Umm Salama sometimes, and he heard it from Aisha sometimes. And in both cases, it's still an authentic hadith.
طيب هنا طبعا أيضا التوفيق بين هذا الحديث والأحاديث الأخرى. الحديث هذا يقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صام شهرين متتابعين شعبان.
How can we coordinate between this hadith and the ones before? Because this one says that he would fast for two consecutive months, which are Sha'ban and Ramadan. And the one before this, we just said that he did not fast for a whole month, for the whole consecutive month. So how can we make them coordinated, or how do we coordinate between them? When we say here the whole month or for two consecutive months, it's most of the month. It's most of the days of the month, not the whole month, not 30 days. We don't mean that he did not break his fast on a single day of this month, but when we say the whole month, we just mean it's like 20 days or 28 days or 27 days of the whole month. So it's most of the whole month.
الحديث الذي بعده عن عائشة رضي
الله عنها. The next one from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم في شهر أكثر من صيامه لله في شعبان. كان يصوم شعبان.
Who said, I never saw the messenger of Allah be upon him performing voluntary fasting more in any other month than the month of Sha'ban. It appears as if he fasts. He fasted throughout the whole of Sha'ban except for a few days.
يكاد أن يصوم كله. يعني هنا القصد المراد هنا يعني كأنه يصوم شعبان.
And we mean here when we say the whole month of Sha'ban, we mean most of the days in Sha'ban.
كأنه صام شعبان كله.
And when we say the most of the days, it's as if the whole month.
معظمه أفطر منه قليلا. الحديث الذي بعده عن زيد بن
عبد
الله أي بن مسعود رضي الله عنه.
From Abdullah bin Mas'ud,
صلى الله عليه وسلم,
the messenger,
يصوم من غرة كل شهر.
Who reported the messenger of Allah, may Allah be pleased with him. He fasted for 3 days at the beginning of every month, and he very seldom did not fast on Friday.
غرة الشهر أوله. من غرة كل شهر ثلاثة أيام وقل ما كان يفطر. يوم الجمعة صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And he was always fasting on Friday.
قلما كان يفطر يوم الجمعة. المقصود أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني كان كثيرا ما يصوم يوم الجمعة لكن لا يصومه منفردا.
And the meaning here, the meaning on Friday, the Rasul did not start with Friday or end with Friday. He would always start like Thursday, and Friday would always be among the some days, but he would never start with Friday.
When
the Rasul once saw Maimuna, she started with Friday, and he asked her, did you fast yesterday, which was Thursday? She said no, and he said no, you should not do this, please break your fasting. So we should never start with Friday, you should start a day before Friday, and you can continue on Friday. So Friday is in between some days, before and after, but we should never start with Friday. And it was one of the habits of the messenger, peace be upon him, to observe the fasting on Thursday, so he would continue to fast on Friday and Saturday. The hadith next to us from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, who said, Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, he would always make an intention of fasting on Monday and Thursday.
تعرض الأعمال يوم الاثنين.
And from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, deeds are presented before Allah, the Exalted and Almighty on Mondays and Thursdays, and I like my deed be presented while I'm fasting. Next one from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Messenger of Allah, may the blessings of Allah be upon him. He fasted 3 days of every month. In some months he fasted on Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays, and in some months he fasted on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays.
ثلاثة أيام يعني متتابعة يصوم سبتا وأحدا واثنين وفي شهر آخر يصوم يوم الثلاثاء والأربعاء والخميس وذكرنا أنه قلما كان يفطر يوم الجمعة يعني كان ينوع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني ما من يوم من أيام الأسبوع إلا وكان يصومه صلى الله عليه وسلم تنفلا في بعض الأحيان كان أحيانا يعني يصوم السبت والأحد والاثنين وأحيانا يصوم الثلاثاء والأربعاء والخميس أحيانا يصوم الاثنين والخميس فقط أحيانا يعني تمر عليه أيام طويلة مفطرا وأياما طويلة.
So it's one of his beautiful habits to observe most of the days, and he would always make variety of these days. So he would fast Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, and sometimes in some other months he fasted Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. The hadith next to this from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Apostle, may Allah be may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he did not fast in any month more than the month of Sha'ban.
بالنسبة للصيام النافلة فأكثر شهر كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتنفل فيه الصيام هو شهر شعبان الذي بعده.
The one next to this hadith
عن معاذة قالت
is from معاذة who reported that she asked the Aisha, the wife of the apostle, may Allah peace be upon him.
قالت قلت من أيه كان يصوم.
Whether the messenger of Allah.
قالت كان لا يبالي من أيه صار.
Whether the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to fast for 3 days during every month. And Aisha said, yes. I said to her, what were the particular days of the month on which he used to fast? She said, he was not particular about the days of the month. And we know from Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, may Allah be pleased with him, we should Abu Dharr al-Ghifari said that we should always fast the 13th of the month, the 14th of the month, and the 15th of the month. And these days are somehow described as being white days, or they give us glow in the face, or they make our faces more glowing before Allah. And these days are the 13th and the 14th and 15th.
واحيانا هنا تطلق الغره على الايام التي ينير فيها الجو لان الغره هي البياض الذي يكون في جبين الفرس واليوم الثالث عشر والرابع عشر والخامس عشر
and it's like the glow it's like the glow on the forehead of a horse.
ايضا تفسير اخر للحديث كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم من غره في كل شهر ثلاثه ايام.
And we have another hadith about this. It's always the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every month that we should observe. These are called the white days. These are called the white days, the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every month. Of the Hijri calendar, we call them white days because they give us glowing faces, or they give us a white spot on our foreheads. That's why they are called white days.
الحديث الذي بعده عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان عاشوراء يوما تصومه قريش في الجاهلية وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
وما عيش مي الله بي تويست وذ هير ذات قريش ذات ترايب اوف قريش يوزد تو فاست اون ذا دايز اوف عاشورا
كان رمضان
ان ذا بري اسلاميك دايز اند ذا ميسنجر اوف الله بيس بي ابون هيم also fasted on that day. When he came to Medina, he himself observed that day. He observed his fast and commanded others to fast also. But when fasting during the month of Ramadan was made obligatory, he said, he who wishes to observe this fast may do so, and who wishes to abandon it may also do so.
يعني ليس القصد انه ابتدا صيام عاشوراء عندما قدم المدينه لكن
so when he came to المدينة when he came to المدينة he was already fasting that day and he just continued his fasting so he did not start the day the time he was in المدينة he just continued his fasting
فريضه كان صوما واجبا فلما فرض الله صيام رمضان
so before Allah made the Ramadan obligatory the day of Ashura was obligatory but when Allah made the Ramadan obligatory it was something that is up to you you can always fast it or you can abandon fasting
كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخص من الايام يخص من الأيام شيئا قالت كان عمله ديمة
and from another hadith somebody asked Aisha may Allah be pleased with her did the messenger of Allah may peace be upon him used to choose special days for fasting she said no but he used to be regular in his service of worship he used to be regular on his service of worship who amongst you can endure what Allah's apostle may peace be upon him used to endure
صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت كان عمله ديمة وأيكم يطيق ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطيق
So she said that the apostle peace be upon him did not choose special days for fasting and he just used to be regular in his service of worship and she asked them who amongst you can endure what the apostle peace be upon him used to endure
الأوقات والكيفيات وكذا لكن أصل العمل يعني كان يداوم عليه الواظبا الحديث الذي بعده
the one next to this hadith it's from Aisha as well may Allah be pleased with her that the messenger peace be upon him
فقال من هذه
came home and a woman was present at that time and he inquired who is this woman and Aisha replied this is a certain woman who does not sleep at night she suffers insomnia and the messenger of Allah said one should observe only that amount of nawafil which one can bear
فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم من الأعمال ما تطيقون
Actually it was not insomnia it was that she spent the whole night praying when she replied this is a certain woman who does not sleep at night the messenger of Allah said one should observe only the amount of nawafil the amount of non-prescribed prayers which one can bear I swear an oath that Allah The exalted does not fear the granting of rewards till you begin to fear the observance of deeds. Aisha said, the most beloved deed of the Messenger of Allah were those that were practiced continuously.
يتحمس الإنسان
So something that is little but you do continuously is far more is far better or better by far than something big or something that makes you tired, and you just do it one day and you just stop the other day. But if you just start by little by little and you just do it on the daily basis or the continuous basis, it's better than you do a lot but you stop the next day because you are tired, because you had so much of it.
وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يمل الله حتى تمل، يعني لا ينقطع، لا تنقطع الإثابة من الله سبحانه وتعالى حتى تمل، يعني حتى تنقطع عن العمل الصالح. يعني لا يمل الله حتى تمل، يعني لا يقطع الله تعالى عنكم الثواب والخير حتى تقطعوا العمل الصالح. فحتى لا فهنا الإرشاد من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى لا ينقطع عنكم الثواب من الله تعالى، لا تقطعوا العمل الصالح، وداوموا عليه وواظبوا عليه وعملوا بالقدر.
And there is another hadith who says Allah will not get tired of you till you get tired of what you do.
بعده عن أبي صالح قال سألت عائشة وأم سلمة.
And from Abu Salih, I inquired from Aisha and Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with them, which act was the most beloved by the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him? Which act was the most beloved to the Messenger? And both gave the reply that that deed which was practiced continuously, even if it was little.
يقول كنت مع رسول الله
from
صلى
Malik,
الله عليه وسلم ليلة
who says, may Allah be pleased with me. I spent a night with the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him. He used the miswak, performed ablution, and then he stood up in salat. He stood up in prayer. I stood up to pray along with the Apostle of Allah. He got up and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran. And when he came to verse which spoke of mercy, he stopped and made supplication. And when he came to a verse which spoke of punishment, he stopped and sought refuge in Allah. And then he bowed and paused as long as he stood reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, and he said while bowing, glory be to the possessor of greatness, the kingdom, the grandeur and the majesty. Then he prostrated himself and paused as long as he had stood and repeated while prostrating the same supplication. Then he stood up and recited Surah Al-Imran, the third surah of the Quran, and then recited many surahs, one after another, one surah in each rakah.
أخذ من هذا يعني أخذ الحديث على ظاهره، يعني كان قيامه نحو ركوعه نحو من قيامه أو بقدر قيامه أو قريبا من قيامه. فقال يعني المراد المساواة في المدة الزمنية. الرأي الآخر وهذا ذكره ابن القيم رحمه الله وبعض العلماء قال لا، يعني المقصود أنه إيه، أن الركوع يعني يكون طويلا إذا كان القيام طويلا، ويكون قصيرا إذا كان القيام قصيرا. يعني القصد إيه، المناسبة، التناسب بين الركوع والقيام والسجود والجلسة بين السجدتين وكذا، أن هذا يتناسب مع القراءة، لكن ليس المراد أنه يكون مثل القراءة في المدة الزمنية. يعني القراءة في العادة تكون أطول، ولكن القصد أنه إذا أطال القراءة.
And some scholars said that if he recited for a long period of time, he would prostrate for a long time. It would not be the same. It would not be the same time. Or as long as he, as much as he stood up reciting, but it would be proportionate or appropriate to the time he stood up reciting. And if he made like a very short surah, he would prostrate for a short time, and he would. And if he stood up reciting for a long time, so he would prostrate for a long time as well.
وهذا لعله يعني أقرب، يعني والله أعلم.
ممكن الرسول على طول
أيوة أيوة يعني زي يكون نسبة وتناسب. أحسنتم. يعني زي مثلا إيه؟ يعني ممكن نقول مثلا من الركوع مثلا يكون يعني 10% مثلا من نسبة القراءة، يعني على سبيل المثال. يعني
so we would say that prostrating is always like 10%
قيام مثلا
of the time.
يعني
10% of the time you stand up reciting.
3 دقائق والرفع من الركوع 3 دقائق والسجود 3 دقائق وهكذا. يعني هذا إن كانت إذا مثلا القيام كان 10 دقائق يبقى
so if you stood up reciting Quran for 10 minutes for 10 minutes you should prostrate for 3 minutes for example.
لكن لا إنه إذا صل قام يعني 30 دقيقة الركوع 30 دقيقة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ يعني سورة البقرة وكان
so he recited سورة البقرة and he would never stop he stopped he always stopped at the verse of mercy and whenever he stopped at spoke of mercy he stopped and made supplication and when he came to a verse which spoke of punishment he stopped and sought refuge in Allah.
ثم ركع فمكث راكعا بقدر قيامه ويقول في ركوعه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في ركوعه سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظم ثم سجد بقدر ركوعه ويقول في سجوده سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظم ثم قرأ آل عمران ثم سورة
and then he prostrated himself and paused as long as he had stood and repeated while prostrating the same supplication. Then he stood up and recited the Surah Al-Imran and then he recited many surahs one after another.
وفي السجود أيضا سبحان ذي الجبروت
he would always say سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظم which is glory be to the possessor of greatness, the kingdom, grandeur and the majesty. And we'll stop here, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. نعم. نعم. يعني قالوا هذا في النافلة فقط يعني. قالوا هذا في النافلة فقط اللي هو إيه السؤال في آية الرحمة والتعوذ عند آية العذاب. فقال هذا ينبغي يعني أن يكون في
we can stop at every verse of mercy and every verse of punishment only of the non-prescribed prayers. We cannot do this in the prescribed prayers or the mandatory prayers. We have to we can do this only in the non-mandatory prayers or in the non-prescribed prayers.
لكن يعني الاكثر من الدعاء يعني في ثنايا القراءة وكذا هذا إذا صلى الإنسان وحده أو يعني في مثل هذا الموقف يعني
and you can always pause at the verse of mercy and pause on the verse of punishment when you are praying alone because you would make it hard on people who are if you are in a congregational prayer a congregation you would make it harder for the people who are behind you.
هذا صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله. نعم سؤال تفضل. It's okay. نعم يعني كيفية صعود العمل الصالح يعني إلى الله.
How do the angels would just write it down and it just goes up. The Rasul once was prostrating and he he heard somebody who was prostrating as well, but he was standing up this time, and he was thanking Allah in a way he had never heard anybody thank Allah before.
قالها يعني أيكم قالها قال إن سمعت آنفا رجلا يقول ربنا لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه فقال أيكم قالها فقال رجل يعني
and the Rasul asked who said this form of thanking because this guy said that thanks are due to Allah thanks are as much as between the sky and the earth and more till Allah as much as Allah wants
أيهم يصعد بها أولا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى فهذا مثلا مثال يعني لعمل صالح
And this is an example of a good deed.
And
the angels would always take it and ascend it or deliver it.
العمل نفسه يكون يعني شيئا محسوسا يعني لأن الله تعالى قال إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب.
Because Allah said good deeds are always ascended to me.
لكن يعني كيفية العمل يعني تحول العمل مثلاً إلى
how this would happen as a concrete thing to be ascended. Because when we say it's ascended, it's always written on a book by the angels, and then it's ascended to Allah. But how exactly, we don't know the details. We just believe and we have to believe that it's ascended to Allah, but how, we don't know exactly. And it's written and the angels take it up and they take it up to, they take this book to Allah.